I began a series of messages probably a month or so ago. The series is entitled Things to Come. And of course, one of those things is the second coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And by way of review, let me remind you what those steps are. I mentioned to you a few weeks ago that what we are looking for is not a what, but a who, right? The Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the event that we're looking for is the rapture of the church. Now, I don't know what you are in terms of your approach to the second coming of Christ, but I take a premillennial, pre-tribulational approach to the second coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus. Meaning that he will come before the thousand-year reign and rapture the church out of the world. Now the church, mind you, consists only of those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. That's the church. Those who have done that make up the church universally, and of course, in several instances, locally. We are a local body of believers who make up part of the universal church. So he promised then that he would come again, and the event we're looking for then is the rapture of the church. And remember this, now I believe, and I trust that many of you do as well, that the rapture of the church is imminent. Meaning that the rapture could take place just like that. It could take place before we even get through this service today. So that's what we're looking forward to, the rapture of the church. Then, after the church is raptured out of the world, there is 7 years of tribulation. And since we are raptured out, we don't have to worry too much about being tribulated or having trials of a severe nature. And if you understand much about the tribulation that is to come, you understand that the last 3.5 years of that tribulation period is worse than the first 3.5 years. But as the church, we will not be here. So the question may come to mind, what in the world are we going to be doing when we are in heaven with the Lord during those 7 years of tribulation upon the earth? Well, there are two things. One is this. There's the judgment seat of Christ. Do you realize that the scriptures teach that each of us are going to stand before Christ and be judged at the judgment seat of Christ? Scripture says we're going to have to give to him an account of everything we have done and everything that we have said in this world. So I have said to my congregation on several occasions, be careful, little tongue, what you say. And so, there is coming that day when we must give an account of our life to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not for the purpose of condemnation. Now, if you are in Christ, don't worry about being condemned. Scripture says, Romans, I believe it's 8:1. There is therefore now, do I need to say that again? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, so we don't have to worry about condemnation. But what we do need to concern ourselves with is the rewards that are promised to us when Jesus comes again. And I do believe there is a relationship between our behavior here and now and the rewards that we will receive in heaven. I believe that everybody who is born again will go to heaven. But I also believe that heaven's going to be more heaven for some than for others because of the stewardship of their life. And the better steward you have been of your life, the greater the reward will be in heaven. I think that because there are different degrees of punishment in hell. Don't like to talk much about that topic, but I would be less than honest with you if I did not preach the entire gospel to you. There is a hell, and there are degrees of punishment in hell as well. And hell's going to be hell for everybody that's there. It's a place you don't want to be. You can escape it by faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. So you have the judgment seat of Christ, and there we are in heaven in the presence of Christ, being judged by Him for rewards. But what else? If you recall, those of you who have heard me preach this a few weeks ago, you understand that there's the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so that's what will take place. As the 7 years of tribulation is occurring here in this life, in this world, we are facing the judgment seat of Christ and also the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, I don't know exactly what all that means and what all that involves, but I do believe this, that the marriage supper of the Lamb, I believe, would mean that we have a greater, more sensitive, an enhanced relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a time of celebration, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then, at the end of the 7 years, we have Christ coming again to the earth, this time not just in the air, but coming all the way to the earth to judge those who have rebelled against Him, put an end to His enemies once and for all, and then begins the millennial kingdom. Do you understand? You see the progression here? Then begins the millennial kingdom of Christ. Now, folks, I don't normally give that long of an introduction, but that basically was the introduction to today's message entitled, The Unprecedented Blessings of the Millennial Kingdom of God. I doubt that many Christians give much thought to the world that is to come because we are so bogged down because of the world that is, that we express or we live today. Isn't it true that sometimes life just becomes seemingly almost unbearable? Job said this, though he slay me, I will hope in him. So if there's one thing that comes out of this millennial kingdom that's applicable to each of us today, it's just a phrase I want to share with you. Usually I'm sharing the conclusion at the beginning. The phrase is hopeful endurance. Meaning that in this life there will be times when life will be difficult. It will. That's what did Jesus say? John 16:33. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. That's what he said. In this world you will have trouble, but he says, take heart. Take heart. I have overcome the world. And what we have to look forward to, if you are born again, if you are a genuine child of God, what you have to look forward to is the millennial reign of Jesus Christ coming at the end of the tribulation period when Jesus brings with Him those who have been born again into the world at the end of the tribulation, and we reign with Christ for 1,000 years. That's the beginning of the millennial kingdom. Well, the question is, what are the unprecedented blessings of the millennial kingdom? Perhaps I should emphasize, underline, highlight, capitalize the word unprecedented. You know what that word means, probably. It means there's no other example to draw from. Nothing has ever happened like this before the millennial kingdom. Nothing. There's no example to look at. Meaning that the millennial kingdom is going to be a time that's basically in this life is indescribable. And I doubt that any of us have the language or the intellect to describe fully what the millennial kingdom reign of Christ is going to be like in the coming, in the future. But we can endure this life because we know that there's a better life coming that's indescribable for those who are born again in Christ Jesus. Now, let's read the text. It's Revelation 20, 1 through 6. John, the Revelator, writes, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. There's the millennial reign. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it. I hate it when you change a page and you get two or three pages instead of the one you need. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time." The he there would be the evil one, Satan. Then John says, "Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who have been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. And those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. You know who that is? And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Do you know who that is, friends? That's the church. That's you, if you are a child of God. I don't know what the content of all that reign will be. I know that Christ will be the head. And somehow, I believe that our stewardship of our life here and now will influence what we reign over in heaven. And we will reign, he says, for 1,000 years. He says, the rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were completed. That would be the resurrection, I suppose, of the non-believer. He says, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Did you catch that? Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. You know what the second death is. That's separation from God. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Friends, there's coming a time when Christ will reign over the world for 1,000 years and then ultimately for an eternity. I have mentioned in your outline today, I'm assuming that many of you have the outline, I want to, by way of review once again, did you note what John says in the first three verses of Revelation 20? He talks about the first unprecedented blessing of the millennial kingdom will be the binding of Satan. Now, folks, nothing like that has ever happened before. No one on this side of heaven has ever lived in a world in which Satan had no influence. Like I said a few weeks ago, can you imagine what the world would be like if Satan's influence was diminished, more than diminished, cast into the abyss, as Scripture says here, the binding of Satan? I have no idea what the world would be like with Satan being bound. No influence whatsoever. Now, as I said a few weeks ago, I suspect that there's a lot going on in the world today, not just the United States, but over the entire world, the universe, that I suspect Satan has his hand in some way or another. He's very subtle. Scripture says that he roams the world looking for whom he may devour. And if you do not believe in the reality of Satan, then you do not believe the Scriptures. Jesus himself believed in the reality of Christ, or of Satan, that Satan is an individual, a created being, but a fallen being who has a tremendous amount of power and influence in the world. God only knows, listen carefully, God only knows just exactly how much influence Satan has had in your life and mine. And he will continue to do so until Jesus comes again and binds him for 1,000 years. And what in the world is the world going to be like with Christ at the head and Satan in the abyss? Nobody has a vivid enough imagination to imagine what a world like that would be like. But if you're a child of God, you will experience that eventually. That's what we have to look forward to. There is a better world coming, my friends. So don't let this world get you so down that you forget about the world that's coming when Christ reigns. And sometimes it's easy to do that, isn't it? To get so bogged down in life in this world that we forget about the life that is promised us in Jesus Christ. So there's the binding of Satan. That's the first unprecedented blessing of the millennial kingdom, living in a world where Satan has no influence. The second one is this, and I shared this a couple of weeks ago, but you know what? Repetition's a good teacher, isn't it? It sure is. I don't know about you, but I need to be told things more than once before I hear it. Just ask Ann. You're like that too. So the first thing is the binding of Satan. The second thing is this. He talks about in the first three verses, in this passage of Scripture, he talks about the reign of Christ. So there's an establishment of a ruling government. Listen carefully. The establishment of a ruling government characterized by divine righteousness. You know, we've never experienced a world like that where divine righteousness has been the thing. That's what he says in verse 4 of 20. He says, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Reigned with Christ. That's rule. That's government. Politicians talk about, I need to be careful here. They talk about a new world. Well, not a new what's the slogans that many of them have used recently? Make America great again. Build back better. And a change is coming and all that sort of stuff. Listen carefully. There is a change coming. There is a build back better. And there is make America great again. But it's Jesus Christ who's going to do it. Amen. Not a politician. Amen. Not a program. Amen. And not a party. Amen. It's Jesus Christ alone. Amen. And especially will it be so at the millennial reign of Christ. Amen. I like what Dwight Pentecost, who is or was a professor, seminary professor, theologian and who is now in the presence of Christ. I like what he said in his commentary on the second coming of Christ. He says, all that exists in the millennium has its origin in the King who is revealed. Let me repeat that. He says, all that exists in the millennium, that thousand-year reign, has its origin in the King who is revealed. Well, that's Christ. Then he goes on to quote another theologian by the name of Peters, who wrote a commentary entitled The Theocratic Kingdom. Theocratic, that means God rule kingdom. He said, listen carefully. How can the curse be repealed? And you know that today, folks, you know why we experience all that we're experiencing today in terms of all kinds of difficulty, weather-wise and otherwise? Because Satan and the world is a fallen nation. It really is. And he says, how can the curse be repealed? We are cursed. How can death be overcome? How can all the fearful evils pertaining to man and nature be removed? All of which are to be realized in this kingdom. Under Messiah's reign, without a mighty display of supernatural power beyond anything that the world has ever witnessed. There's the unprecedentedness, if there is such a word. Did you catch it? Beyond anything that the world has ever witnessed, and beyond the understanding of weak and mortal man with his limited powers. He says, if there is a truth conspicuously displayed in Holy Writ, that's the Bible, it is that this kingdom, the millennial kingdom, the tabernacle of David, now in ruins, but then gloriously rebuilt under David's son, that's Jesus Christ, cannot be manifested without the most wonderful display, listen carefully, without the most wonderful display of almighty energy. Folks, the millennial kingdom is going to be filled with the power and the energy and the presence of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's unimaginable, isn't it? How in the world can anybody, who in the world has an intellect big enough to understand all of that? Nobody. Nobody. So there's an establishment of a ruling government characterized by divine righteousness. What a day that's going to be. And then, thirdly, in your outline, this is a new point. Unprecedented manifestation. This is the, I'm sorry about, I, you know. Those of you who are members of First Baptist, you know these long, you're used to these long sentences. Unprecedented manifestation of all the attributes of God on full display throughout the millennium in the person of Christ, that he may be glorified as God. Now you have to think about that. One of the problems that Jesus had when he walked upon this earth the first time was the fact he had a difficult time convincing people that he was God in the flesh. You know what we celebrate around Christmas? And his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means, or translated means what? God with us. In fact, that's how Jesus got himself in trouble a good many times, when he claimed that he was God in the flesh. And they criticized him, rejected him, humiliated him, and ultimately crucified him, primarily because of blasphemy. You think you're God. Well, in the millennial kingdom, be no question about who he is. Because all the attributes of God will be revealed in person, in Christ, throughout the kingdom, or throughout the millennial kingdom, in order that Christ himself, without question, would be considered by all who populate that kingdom be considered God in the flesh. Can you imagine what it would be like to meet Jesus in person? To shake hands with him. To hug his neck. Tell him how much you appreciate what he did for you. That's just unbelievable, isn't it? What that's going to be like. I suspect before we ever hug him on the neck, we'll have to bow before him and worship him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, three or four things here quickly. Have you ever known a pastor to be quickly when it comes to preaching? Listen carefully. The deity of Christ will be manifested in the omni attributes of God. You know what the omni attributes are? Omniscience. He knows all things. Omnipotence. He is all powerful. There's nobody more powerful than Christ. Omnipresence. In the presence of Christ firsthand for 1,000 years and then for eternity. He's there to help. I'm reminded of Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I don't know what it's like necessarily in this life to be held up by the righteous right hand of Christ. But I suspect I am in a lot of cases, don't even realize it. Especially when I'm tempted or you are tempted. And Christ in some way or another intervenes and keeps you from saying or doing something you ought not to be doing or saying. So the omni attributes of God will be enhanced, highlighted, underlined, overlined, capitalized. His presence, his knowledge, and his power. The deity of Christ will be manifested. This is B in your outline. The deity of Christ will be manifested as he receives worship as God. In other words, there's going to be no problem. He isn't going to have a problem with anybody bowing before him and worshiping him as God. They didn't during his time because they didn't believe he was God. They hated him. Isaiah 66:23, and it shall be from new moon to new moon and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all mankind will come to bow down before me, says the Lord. I'm reminded what Paul said to the church at Philippi when he said, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wow. Every tongue, every knee shall bow. See in your outline, Christ's deity will be displayed in his righteousness, including his mercy, his goodness, his holiness, his integrity, which is divine truth, etc. You know what people say today in today's culture? They say truth can't be known. You ever hear that? Truth can't be known. Or they'll say truth is relative. In other words, you have your truth and I have my truth. Make any difference if my truth is contrary to yours or yours is contrary to mine. Do you realize that, listen carefully, as I share something with you, do you realize what that does? That violates one of the laws of logic. The law of logic that it's called the non-contradiction. In other words, well, I'll use this. The church has heard this before. Several years ago, when I was pastoring in Fort Worth, Texas, while I was working on my doctorates, a seminary student came to my office. He was in the chaplaincy program at one of the hospitals in Dallas, Texas. And he stood there in my office. I couldn't believe it. He stood there in my office, and this is what he said. He says, "Pastor, there's no such thing as absolute truth." I said, "Are you absolutely sure about that? Do you see what he did? He made an absolute statement, but the statement contradicted itself because he just made an absolute statement saying that there was no such thing as absolute truth." Congregation, Oscar Meyer has a good word for that. Baloney. I'm not kidding you. Listen, during the millennial kingdom of Christ, truth will reign because it is divine righteousness who is reigning, who is none other than Jesus Christ. Don't believe today's culture when they tell you that truth can't be known. And remember this. Truth is a person. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So don't buy this stuff that's coming at you in today's culture, that truth can't be known and truth is relative. And then last, Christ's deity. This is his deity expressed in the millennial kingdom. Christ's deity will be manifested as he makes known and displays the will of the Father on earth as it is in heaven. You remember one of the prayers that they prayed? And I think it was in Matthew 6. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Remember that? You know as well as I do that his will in heaven is not being done in all cases here on earth. Is it? No. But that day it will be. Matthew 6:10. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's another thing that I don't know what it will be like when God's will be done absolutely in this world during the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. What a world. What a thing to look forward to. So you endure. You hang in there. As I heard one preacher say one time, with bulldogged hang-on-tiveness, you hang in there. A better world is coming. And Jesus will reign perfectly. I wrote in my notes the conclusion. As I have studied this, the more I educate myself regarding the millennial reign of Christ, the more I realize I do not have the verbal skills to describe that era of time adequately. Nor do I have the intellectual skills to understand it fully. However, I do realize that I have enough sense to want to enter that era of time as a child of God who reigns with Christ for 1,000 years and ultimately live in his presence for an eternity. So what's the application today? It is this. Just that phrase I mentioned a few minutes ago, hopeful endurance. Be hopeful. You endure. Jesus is coming again, and he will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Christ. And we, along with him, will reign for 1,000 years in the millennial kingdom of Christ.